with. So we have a really lousy HVAC system here. Like one thermostat in between two studios works vastly different. So my HVAC system is this sliding door we have in the studio. It was warm when I came in, so I opened it up to let a little bit of cool air come in. But as I record this, we're in the middle of the second big storm of the day. I decided to sleep in today. My alarm clock. Oh, by the way, the rundown is at the end of this, at the end of today's episode. The last part of it will be mental health stuff, something that I stumbled across and I've begun to work on the last 24 hours. PAT. But it's a little different from the positive affirmations your therapist or counselor might tell you to talk yourself into, because there's things I read about this. I was like, oh, now that makes sense. Like, that's another level of that. So we'll do that at the end. Some fun things first. But I set my alarm today for 6:30, but I was up around 5:45. I heard what it was doing outside. I said, you know what? No, nothing today. I'm going to start the day slow. And then I heard that sledgehammer at 6:45. That was something, reminiscent of Bash on the Bay, August 25th or whatever that was last year. When I got home, the storm was not as bad here as it was on the island, but it was still a loud night in August. It was a loud morning today, specifically at 6:45. And I think there was a lightning strike and, it hit a house. I glanced at that on the news. Three things to get to before we do PAT, which is not point after touchdown or point after try or pat on the back. So I got started in my radio career. I've actually done this. February made it about 26 years. I will not retell the story of me not going to class, but me going to the radio station. I've shared that plenty of times. But when I got going, the boy band era of that part of the 90s was beginning to crest upward. We'd moved beyond some of the rhythmic leaning hip hop R&B boy bands of the early 90s, started by Boyz II Men, the Color Me Bads, Another Bad Creation. And then there was a middle period in the mid 90s where there was like a lot of alternative songs with guitars, which I didn't know existed. I certainly didn't like those songs. I did not like when my radio station growing up that I enjoyed the heck out of. I'm at Q105 now. That was Q102. I was very baffled and perplexed why they were playing all these songs with guitars. Music happens, obviously, in cycles, like so many things do. So the boy band, Backstreet Boys, kicked things off. There was 98 Degrees, too. You remember Five, when the lights go out? They only had that one song. NSYNC, I think the album, self-titled, was 97 or 98. Their single was I Want You Back, Tearing Up My Heart. There was God Must Have Spent, I Drive Myself Crazy, was not as big as the other ones. Then we moved into the second album, I think that was No Strings Attached, with Bye Bye Bye, It's Gonna Be Me, Space Cowboy, Gone. So there was another Justin solo show last night. He did one, I think, in New York City at the beginning of his return in the last month or so. It was a birthday show for him. The crowd sung happy birthday. Last night, his solo show in LA, the crowd sang other songs back to him because he was not alone. One of my very favorite NSYNC songs. I have a memory of that. When we played that on my radio station back in whatever it was, 2002, we would get a lot of calls from people who would typically, from black women who would typically listen to the hip-hop stations. If you know Detroit, WJLB and whatever the other station was back then, they would call us to play that song because I think the thought was they thought it was Michael Jackson and they wanted to hear it because it was such a great soul vibe. That audio was not great quality. It will get better here as I hit this. Watching this gave me chills. I have no shame. Yeah, so there was four chairs out there with Justin that turned into an NSYNC reunion. And the best audio that I have might be of their biggest song. Listen close to the end. And yeah, it gave me chills watching it. There was a time, I think, in my life where people would raise an eyebrow or they'd be stunned that I would say, I love those songs. I think I like more Backstreet Boys songs than I like NSYNC songs, but those songs are iconic and legendary. And I will reiterate this from last year when the NSYNC reunion song came out. And anytime there's ever been like an NSYNC reunion tour rumor, I hope it doesn't get announced today because I've already taken care of my radio show and didn't allude to any part of that, just played that audio. If there's an NSYNC reunion tour, the glitches and mishaps that occurred during Taylor Swift's on sale with Ticketmaster might look like today we have a very rainy day. A single droplet of water compared to what might happen to Ticketmaster and people in the frenzy that will be trying to buy those tickets. One of which might be me. In fact, I will tell, when I first moved to Detroit, and it was like 99, they were performing at the Silver Dome, and I didn't stay for the whole show because they might not have even been the headliner, but I saw them. Not that much longer later, Backstreet Boys were performing at the Palace. I think it was the Millennium Tour for that massive album. It was the loudest I've ever heard anything in my life. I can only imagine that's what it's like to be outside when a plane is taking off. That's what it sounds like when a volcano goes boom. It was piercing my eardrums from the screaming. And the women that were my age and younger than me then, there at that show, will be likely just as loud if this NSYNC reunion tour ever gets going. I have absolutely no shame about my taste in music. I can hit you with obscure boy bands until it never rains again. Next up, one of those stories I saw and I was like, I can't wait to talk about this. There's been a lot of funny headlines, one of which was Cat in the Vat. So there is a big issue in Japan right now. In fact, this Guardian story starts out, it could be the opening scene from a new Marvel movie. Residents of a Japanese city have been warned not to approach or touch a missing cat that appears to have fallen into a vat of toxic chemicals before running off. You don't see a video of its plunge. You see it scampering away, though. And this is interesting and fascinating in a lot of ways. One, toxic chemicals. Now, look, maybe this cat ran off and has keeled over and died somewhere, as people are told to stay away from it. But it ran off no more harm than it was when it fell in. I mean, it was racing. So don't touch this thing. It made me think of two things. Vat of chemicals. One was Toxic Avenger, the really like F-list 80s movie that is kind of creeping back. And of course, there is no conclusive Joker origin story. There is a definitive one, though. The Killing Joke, which I think was a graphic novel in the mid to late 80s. I lose Batman points for forgetting who the writers were. Was it Brian Bolland? The Killing Joke. Kind of what many look to as this is the origin of the Joker, who was a guy trying to support his family, became a small-time crook for this group of guys who wanted him to do something in a chemical plant. He was wearing like a red bubble on his head, I think with a cape. That's where the Red Hood came into Batman mythology. And he fell into a vat of chemicals, just like this cat did. I will make the really lame joke that when they find the cat, I wonder if it will have a white face or a freakish smile. Or it's turned into, I mean, it is Asia. It is Japan, so it could be something like Godzilla-like. Maybe this is that. There's a Godzilla versus Kong, like the new legend or something. I'm not one of those monster movie people. I don't know if I've seen a Godzilla movie. I saw the one in 99 with Matthew Broderick, where Puff Daddy did a song too. But before that, I have seen the original Godzilla movies that were really poorly done and shot at Americans for annihilating, eviscerating, obliterating many innocent Japanese people. Fun story. Not that, the cat story. Last thing. I forget what the score was. They lost by 7 or 9. When I flipped on the score on ESPN.com, they were down like 7 or 9 with under 10 minutes to go. The UT men's basketball team lost. The UT women's basketball team yesterday took care of business, and they'll face Buffalo. Actually, that game might be over already. My apologies. But the UT men lost. They once again won the MAC regular season, best record in the conference, and they came from behind to beat Akron out with in the final days of the season. In fact, their last win was over Kent State, a really bad team, who they beat up really badly, and they beat Kent State badly earlier in the year. The UT ladies take care of business. The UT men let business take care of them. They are such a end of season disappointment. By the way, again, they were the number one seed. Kent State was the last seed in the tournament. This is a giant, disappointing, deflating, but not surprising upset. Every time this happens, some reasonable minds go, maybe that's all Coach Kowalczyk can get out of him. He runs a solid program. UT is always competitive. They've not been to the tournament in like 40 years, so let alone win a game. But they have been so good for so long under Coach Kowalczyk. I was texting with a friend earlier, and I'm not advocating because the next person, sure, maybe they'll get them into the tournament, which would be great. But what about 4 years after that? The program we know is always going to be good and solid. Sometimes when you move on from solid, sure, you get one really exciting year, but the four after that, or many more after that, it becomes more inconsistent. So do you want consistently good, or do you want the chance to be really good, but also know there could be some down years? Or maybe there's somebody out there that can take all the success that Coach Kowalczyk has built into this program and turn it into annual tournament appearances. Because annually, they're one of the two or three best teams in the MAC. In fact, when I was texting with my friend, I was thinking, what if Coach Kowalczyk 3 to 5 years ago, and again, he's a wonderful part of this community. His kid is really good, plays St. John's. He and Coach Culp are bedrocks. They're pillars in our community. And while basketball is an important sport and important to the university, sometimes the things those two do outside in the community is even more important in the lives they affect. But I wonder if he may have left 3 to 5 years or so ago, if someone else might have taken this program and taken all of these oh-so-close tournament appearances and followed through on them. And instead of disappointing, deflating losses on the cusp of being in the tournament for the first time, essentially in my life, that person gets them over the hump. Like this year, not just another one of those opportunities. In fact, I'm kind of glad they lost in the first round. Let's get it over with rather than another semifinal or MAC final or MAC tournament final loss. Extremely disappointing. And I am curious to see the people who know the program and stuff way more than me. And I'm not even, I because he's got smarter, more influential people than me reaching out. But, you know, once a year I have the new-ish UT athletic director, Brian Blair, on. And he had some decisions to make when he got here, both with Coach Kowalczyk and Coach Candle. I'm curious to see the dialogue around Coach Kowalczyk and say it what it is, like another failure with a really good team. You'd almost rather have the BG situation where the team was just really, really lousy for a long time, because everything is about expectations and hope can be a four-letter word. Let me slide over to this, and I hope it's not super clunky. I had gotten into a pretty good rhythm. I found what was working for me. But recently, it's begun to peter out a little bit. And as my friends would attest, I have not been social nearly at all, like of my own volition. As you might have heard me say on the podcast, to compensate for that or to overcome that, both personally, psychologically, professionally, I schedule work adjacent things. I grab somebody cool to come in here and chat. I go meet them somewhere to see what's going on with their organization or their initiative. That would act as my socialization. I did go to Fantasticon last week. I didn't really enjoy myself. It was nice. Maybe I would have enjoyed it more if I was able to buy a couple of things, but nothing really struck me. And it's good, too, because I had a very careless weekend, which cost me $1,000. Complete carelessness cost me $1,000. My dad tried to lift me up a little bit. He's like, "You're human. Mistakes are made." And I get that. But these were preventable, careless mistakes. I'll leave that as is. So, and that probably was the catalyst for what I've jumped into the last 48 hours. I knew that they were going to be expensive. I saw the damage. I had a look at the damage. I broke my iPad. It looks like a dragon ate it. And I ruined the antenna on my car because I closed the garage door too soon. Completely preventable, completely careless mistakes. Cost me $1,000. So that was looming over me like the cloud and rains that I'm watching right now. And I read a Reddit post, and it was said, the guy questioned, are things just not fun after 40 anymore? And I thought, yeah, that's why I don't do any of that shit. And he talked about having a family, going to work to provide for that family. Like the rat race, the mundanity that you just get into that cycle. You work, you answer your emails, you do the best that you can. Maybe you like your job, maybe you don't, but you know it pays the bills. You want to provide for your family. You love your family. You look forward to Friday. And sometimes you have time without the kids, other times you don't, but you go do those things, whether it's go see Shrek the Musical this weekend, you go to Fantasticon, you go to a walleye game. You know the schedule of activities. And then you get Sunday scaries, and it all starts over again on Monday. It is a wheel that you're running in. But in that thread, people were like, no, you should definitely enjoy things. And one person said, mental health professional here. And they mentioned a word that I had not seen in some time, but I was very familiar with. And you might have heard me say it here before. Anhedonia. And I'm over-pronunciating that. Anhedonia. A-N-H-E-D-O-N-I-A. You might remember when I went to go see my current therapist 2.5 years ago, I was like, I think I don't... have suicidal thoughts anymore. The dark stuff is gone, but I seem to have hardwired myself with such a protective coat that I don't enjoy things anymore. Now, granted, you know, this has been some time, and even as a kid, I had very narrow interests. It was sports and video games, and that was it. My dad, you want to join the Boy Scouts? No. Do you want to go join this group? No. How about getting better at Hebrew school? Absolutely not. And it got more and more narrow as I got older. And this really hit me, I think, once I became full-time in my job, because that chase ended. Now, that was a long time ago. Now, I still wanted to move places in my career and move up and achieve certain things. But once those achievements happen and I reach a certain level, as you've heard me say from my dad, an empty mind is the devil's playground. The challenges were gone, and that allowed a lot of dark thoughts in, which the medication and other things corrected when I moved into the Cymbalta era in 2015. But I think back when I went to Pam, and I was like, hey, can you, like, unwire some of the hardwiring that I've done? Well, I've protected myself. I would also like to feel more joy. Again, there's no darkness. I don't want to kill myself, which I guess people say KMS on Reddit. There's very little of that, although it creeps when I get bored, which is often. Why do you get bored? I mean, you have a lot of free time. I do have a lot of free time, and I could be way more productive with it. But I don't enjoy things. I enjoy this. I mean, I like being good at my job and achieving things. But, like, as we've learned, a job, a workplace should not be everything in your life. And in a lot of ways, as my friends will tell you, it is, because he doesn't go out anymore. I just do my work adjacent things. That unwiring, I didn't achieve what I wanted with Pam and others at Unison, but I got to a better place. A lot of it might have been because my work situation was better. Never underestimate getting out of a terrible work situation. You're there 8+ hours a day. Another 8 hours, you've got yourself, and then another 8 hours, roughly speaking, you're sleeping. So essentially, more than half of your waking day, you could be at a soul-sucking place or have a soul-sucking person there. Imagine getting away from that. That unto itself could be the best medication you could ever have for whatever you might be dealing with. So I read this person's post and I read some of the responses. And I was like, yeah, I remember anhedonia. And then I began to do the rabbit hole thing. Like, what is a good remedy for anhedonia? Fortunately, it was things that I'm already pretty proficient at. Medications, antidepressants of all kinds. I'm now on Trintellix and Wellbutrin, which should be helping me to enjoy things. And they have to a degree, but they've more so removed the darkness. And we're going to come back to that, which is why I'm going to take this in a direction that you might be thinking, well, just think positive things. It's hard to do that. The remedies were medication, antidepressants, and counseling and therapy, CBT therapy, to untwist thoughts, which I, again, am very proficient in. You've heard my spiel. I have untwisted so many negative thoughts and distorted thoughts in my life with the flooding and immersion technique, the what's the worst that could happen technique, the no should statements technique. You should be better at your job. No, not should. You could be better at your job, but not should. Don't pin yourself in with words. Talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself. Talk to yourself as you would console a friend. Like, I know all this shit. And it is why there are very few dark thoughts in my head. So all the anhedonia stuff, and I think her name was Michelle Kraske, was kind of somebody who pushed this forward. She's a professor, psychologist out in LA, at UCLA. Her place doesn't take insurance. It's $300 to $500 a visit, but she maybe seems to be the godmother of moving forward with PAT. PAT, positive effect treatment. Now, when I looked it up, all I could find was papers, and I don't do good with educational papers. But I did stumble onto a blog of Dr. Matthew Smout, an Australian guy. And I wrote this guy an email. We'll see if he gets back to me. And it summarized a lot of the things in the papers. And I took some notes that I'm going to dive into, because really there's nothing changing my medications. This might be the peak. I mean, I've done a lot of different medications. I'm at a good spot with Trintellix. The reason I hopped onto it, I seem to be seeing gains with. I'm actually sleep less now, which is not a terrible thing. It's not like mania lack of sleep where I'm up for 48 hours straight. I can do on like 5.5 or 6 hours of sleep and be good. So I've kind of liked that part of Trintellix. It gives me hours that I've slept away for years, even up till now. And I sleep my weekends away because I don't enjoy things. I wish I could flip a switch and like what I used to like. I wish I could sit and play video games without having any drinks for hours on end. I wish I could go out with friends and not feel like, oh, I want to go home and do all the things that I used to enjoy. other than the quick bursts of enjoyment where I buy a new transformer, I have a good conversation with a friend, and I'm not asking for constant happiness. As I counsel people, that's not a thing. That's impossible. Happiness is a feeling. It will come and go. But when I have all the, I have so much free time and I can be taking so much advantage of it, but everything to me is very ho-hum. It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't give me joy. Again, I think this is a big reason why I've kind of retired from dating, in addition to, God, people are a challenge. Like, it just doesn't, and it all works as one. People being a challenge is part of it, but also it's like, just not it. Like, there's nothing about someone or something that gets me to want to leave my house or get out of my routine. So Dr. Smout here will kind of summarize positive affect treatment. And I'm going to run through these in the clinical way. First module, 7 sessions. And I think he's actually teaching therapists how to go about this. And by the way, one more thing. I downloaded a mindfulness app yesterday, which I've always failed to do, mindfulness. It's $70 a year. Everybody says it works. I'll hold off. I'll try this stuff first. Scheduling. Actually, you know what? Instead of reading all of this, and I can share that blog post, I'll give you the takeaways that I got. Now, remember, I don't have any negative thoughts, but there's nothing that I'm magnetized to enjoy. Schedule things that offer, and these are basically, this is basically word for word from Dr. Smout here. Schedule things that offer inherent pleasure and can provide mastery. Achieving things, being good at things, whether it's working out or at work. Those are good pops, bursts, glimmers, as we talked about before. Schedule things that offer inherent pleasure. So even if they don't appeal to me, put them on the schedule, knowing at the very least, maybe you'll be in the mood to do it. Maybe you'll guilt yourself into doing it because you don't want to let somebody down. Relive. Now, here's where we get into beyond you're good enough, you're smart enough, and God damn it, people like you. Relive positive experience to deepen and savor. I'm going to say this again. Relive positive experience to deepen and savor. I can tell you, no counselor has ever done this with me before. We have always tried to untwist the dark thoughts, which again, are gone. Get rid of the distortions. But this isn't a distortion. This is like going to the gym. I looked at this as rebuilding the muscle, the electricity in my brain that used to enjoy things. If you used to be able to bench press 150 pounds and now you can't, you could probably get back up to that. You've just got to retrain the muscle. Relive positive experience to deepen and savor. The way that I see that is, think about times I had fun. Close my eyes. What's a time I had fun? Doing the podcast is hard to think of these things off the top of my head. Relive positive experiences to deepen and savor. So take myself back to those moments and close my eyes and walk myself through it and try to resurrect the feelings that I felt then. The feelings, the sounds, the smells, the touches, and what created that enjoyment. Maybe that will reactivate things in my brain so that I can enjoy things that I don't enjoy anymore. Find the positive in bad spots. Silver lining, this is also a CBT technique that I'm pretty good at. I constantly was telling myself after my accidental weekend, you're lucky it wasn't worse. You're lucky the garage isn't destroyed. You're lucky that an iPad is only $250 now. You're lucky that you can afford it. So I found the silver lining. I'm good at that. Here's some Stuart Smalley shit. Read wins in front of a mirror. And I am of the mind that saying stuff out loud, you don't have to do it around people, but saying stuff out loud can allow your ears to hear it and feed it back into your brain and work that muscle of positivity. Imagine, and this is the other big one here, imagine, rehearse, potentially positive upcoming events. So this is the opposite of relive the good. This is think about the good that could happen and talk your brain into it. Imagine, rehearse, potentially positive upcoming events. Also, another ground level fundamental, which I think I'm pretty good at. I do it without thinking now because I always say thank you and hold doors and can I help you when I'm out and about in public. One act of generosity every day. That's self-explanatory. And then I should probably get back to gratitude practice, which I was doing in the shower quite often. 3 to 5 things that I am grateful for that I had absolutely no influence over. positive affect treatment. This is all new in my world. I was almost reluctant to share it with you because I'm only 24 hours into this venture. But I've made my brain work on it a bunch. And again, it is completely new. I have never come across this before ever. Because when people are depressed and down, you want those negative thoughts gone. And I guess the thinking is when the negative thoughts are gone, people have those natural joys, their friends, their loved ones, what they do for a living, working out, their hobbies. When the cloud is away, they can sink themselves back into them. That's not the case with me. My problem is boredom, and the boredom is caused by lack of joy, lack of things that I want to dive into. So again, I don't need the negative out of my head. I need someone to re-electrify the positive things. And I've never seen or read about this approach before. We're not going to worry about the negative. We're going to think about the positive things and rebuild that muscle. Positive affect treatment. Here we go.